We're doing a series for a few weeks on the big fears that we all have. So if you interview a bunch of people and ask what their top fears are, this is the list that always shows up, you know, on the big lists. Last week we talked about people who are afraid of the dark, and we looked at a story in the Bible about darkness, and we'll do the same thing tonight. Now, we're not going to go through each week and talk about how you get over that fear or deal with it, so we're doing something a little different. We're taking each of the big fears and we're finding a story in the Bible where that fear is a major character. So, like tonight, we are going to talk about fear of heights, and that's a big one for me, by the way. I'm afraid of this stage, in fact. Give me the heebie-jeebies right now. So at the end of the night, we're not necessarily going to be talking about how to get over that fear. I don't know that you do, right? I think you may get better or worse, but we are going to talk about a place in the Bible where Jesus went up to a exceeding high mountain and was tempted there, and then we'll have a takeaway about that story. So I just want to be clear, if you're here tonight and you're afraid of high places, not going to help you get over that. But you will come away with a story where heights is a major character, and we'll try to give a good takeaway or a good principle about that. So this is a big one for me. Heights, I have a tough time since I was a kid. How many of you struggle with fear of high places? Let's see your hands. Yeah, I bet a third of the room. Not anyone in the balcony, of course, because that's why they're in the balcony, right? But this is one of my big ones. I'm better now. I can get on a roller coaster now, and I couldn't when I was a kid. In fact, I've got a phone and license and credit card at the bottom of a roller coaster right now in Branson. So I will get on roller coasters, but they still make me nervous. When they're climbing and climbing and climbing just at the top, I'm thinking, oh, I'll be glad to get back to land. They make me nervous. The other day, I got to be with some roof inspectors here in Bolivar. And so my job was to take them around and just do whatever they needed. So I had to pretty much stay really close, follow them around. And that was kind of a hard job for me because, you know, I have to climb the ladders up. Some of the buildings we were on are three or four stories. I have to tell you, I did not enjoy that very much. I didn't get on the very, very highest ones. I played it safe. I also would stay in the middle of some of the bigger roofs. If I got over to the edge and looked down, that would kind of made me extra nervous. Now, the main inspector, though, he could go anywhere. He got on that big domed old gymnasium at the middle school and could just walk around like he's in his house. And it was really windy that day. And I thought, boy, you know, God just made us all different like that. Some people can do it and some just can't. Okay, I have a couple more to tell you about heights. One time when I was a kid, our family took a trip to Colorado and we all met out around the Denver area, had a big family reunion. But on the way, the family decided to do something special, and they stopped at this big place called the Royal Gorge. How many of you have ever been to the Royal Gorge? Boy, more of you have been there than are afraid of heights. So that was amazing, but I just couldn't do it. That was so high. It's like a big canyon or something over the Arkansas River, and it is the highest place I've ever been. So I took two or three steps on that bridge, kind of hugging the pole and looking down, and I went back. I couldn't do it. I was just I don't know how old I was, 9, 10, something like that, but I've never forgotten it. I never forgot that feeling. A few years ago, I think it was right before COVID, Rhonda and I were in that area, and I wanted to see if I could cross that bridge. It would be almost 50 years, 45 years before that, and it's changed. But I made it. I got across. I went across and came back, and I said, honey, I think I'm going to do that again. And I went across and came back. It was exciting that I had grown in that area, and I could do something that I knew I couldn't do when I was a kid. So I go back to the gift shop, and I'm excited. I tell the lady there, I said, you know what? I came here about 45 years ago, and I could not cross it, and I did today, and I just wanted you to know that I am so happy, and you're part of this day. And she said, well, here, let me give you a junior achievement pin. So I got it. I did, yeah. She gave me this pin. It says Royal Gorge Junior Ranger. I'm a junior ranger. I crossed it four times. How about that? Come on. In Canyon City, Colorado. I did it. I'm proud of that thing. I am proud of that. One more. So a few years ago, I guess it's been about 10, 11, 12 years ago, I was in China, of all places, and I went to the highest building in Beijing, and it has a walkout place with a glass bottom. I walked out and looked down, and oh, boy, I had the EBGBs. That was hard. That was a rough one. Well, there are a few places in the Bible that talks about high places. Sometimes it's not in a very good way, and it talks about high places that are worshiped instead of God. So sometimes they show up. They're not in very good places. And I thought I would go to the one place that I told you about in Matthew where Jesus was tempted. It's a famous story, and it's about the time when the devil takes Jesus up to the high mountain and tempts him three ways in three different areas. And I thought we would just talk about that because just for a few minutes, and because there are some good takeaways about that story. It doesn't necessarily, again, help us that have that fear of heights with heights. But boy, it has some good lessons in it. Let's look at Matthew 4, verse 8. Here's one of the temptations. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain of high place. They could see a long distance and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, here's a story about a really high place. It's when Jesus was tempted by the enemy. They go up to a high place, and it was an exceeding high mountain. When they get up there, the enemy offers Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world, which were rightfully Jesus to claim. And I'll tell you why that he didn't claim them yet, just as an aside. Because for Jesus to claim them right then, without going through a suffering part of his ministry, without going to the cross, he could have done it and avoided the cross, but that would mean that he wouldn't pay for our sins. So he chose to postpone the kingdoms that were offered to him, and he will come back someday and rightfully claim those. But before that, before he could do that, he knew he loved you so much, he loved us so much, that he wanted to pay the price so that we could live with him forever. So that's what's going on there. He did that because he loves you so much. He paid for your sins to give you a chance to be with him forever. So I want to talk about what is happening there. The enemy is very crafty, and he will try to trick us into doing the wrong things. Or, in this case, he'll try to trick us in maybe doing the right thing, but at the wrong time. He's very crafty like that. Now, I know that I am my own worst enemy. I give myself more problems than anyone gives me. And I am my own biggest problem. I want to say that very clearly. But I also want to say that we do have an enemy who's always trying to deceive us and trick us and keep us away from Jesus' love and keep us away from good decisions that would honor God. He's always trying to trick us and tempt us and get us to do wrong things like Jesus or the right things at the wrong time. He will try and get you to stop doing worthwhile things, using your life in the best ways, and he'll want you to get caught up in bad decisions. You do have an enemy like that. Bible says that he's always looking to see who he can trick and tempt, and the Bible uses the word devour. So, let's be honest about something. Let's just be honest. Bad decisions can look fun on this side of the bad decision, right? It can look fun. It can look attractive. It can look tempting. Let's be honest. If sin were an ugly drag, no one would want to do it, right? It looks good on the front end. But the problem is, bad decisions, once you do them, can have devastating effects on our lives, especially our relationships. Just have horrible effects. So one way to keep yourself, besides staying close to Jesus as you can, is to think through the long term and what bad effect could this decision have on my life, even though it may look good now. What bad effect could this have on my life and especially my relationships? Think about Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden. Here came that same enemy, and he got them and tricked them to eating the fruit they were not supposed to eat. It looked good. It looked tempting. They thought it would change their life for the better, but once they took a bite, they realized they'd made a big mistake, and it had a devastating effect on their lives, especially their relationships. They had regrets. Don't chase things that you know are wrong and are going to harm you. Chase the things like we talked about last week. Chase letting God love someone through you. One of the best feelings in the world is knowing that you allowed God to love someone else through your life. If you chase that, you'll look back and you'll think, hey, I had a good day. I let God love someone through me. Or I let God love on people this week. You can look back on your life near the end of your life and you can think, you know, I have joy because I know God loves someone through me. Chase that. Go pursue that. And it will be a worthwhile life. So there may be times in your life when you feel like that there's not much spiritually going on and it's quiet, but there's always a battle. We always have an enemy. He's always looking for ways to trick and tempt us and get us to do wrong things. He sets traps for you. He wants to stop you from your purpose. He wants to keep you from doing the things and the ways that God has gifted you and made you special. He never gives up. That same enemy that chases us chased Jesus all the way up to that mountain. So in this story, we see how Jesus dealt with it. And we'll be done here in a second. I want to show you how Jesus handled it, and it's the same way that we can. If we were to read the first part of that story, it says that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. Now, fasting means that you give up food And so instead of food, maybe you'll spend that time praying or reading or just thinking about things. And so that's some people do that. They did it in the Bible. Some cultures do it more than others. But when we say fasting, it means that you give up food for a period of time so you can put extra focus in a spiritual discipline. It's not my spiritual gift, I'll tell you that. I'm not a good faster. Anyway, not my spiritual gift. I do know guys who've done this. Some of my friends have done it. And here's what they say. The first 3 days, you get really hungry. It's really hard to get to the first 3 days of fasting. But then, from day three, for a few weeks, for some reason it's easier. It's not that hard. I mean, you can do it easier than the first 3 days. But around day 38, 39, 40, you get hungry again. And your body's telling you something important. It's like you really need food because you are at an important point with your body, and you need really some food right then. So when the Bible says that Jesus had fasted for 40 days and was hungry, he was at a special point in his life. He needed food physically then, and guess who shows up? The enemy. He knew when Jesus was at his weakest point physically, and that's when he shows up. Hey, learn a lesson from that. Jesus knows your weak points. It may not be hunger. It may be a person that you have a problem with or some other hot button you have or some special weakness you have. The enemy knows that about you. He knows your situation, and he can show up right at those times to tempt you in the strongest ways. He knows that about you, so be careful of him. Did you notice, though, when every time, all three ways that the enemy tempted Jesus, let's look, Becca, can we look at those verses again? Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And this is what the enemy said to Jesus. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus saith unto him, Satan, get thee hence, Satan. Now watch. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Each time that Jesus responds to the temptation, he does it with Scripture. He goes back and quotes a part of the Bible that Jesus himself has hidden in his heart. That's a great defense. That's why we want you to take a few special verses to you and memorize them, hide them in your heart. Because at your weak times, when you can be a little more easily tricked, when the enemy shows up, that is a great defense, calling up those verses in your heart. You know what, Satan? It is written, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just some verse that you have hidden in your heart that will help you, that will help you when the enemy tempts you. That's a great lesson. Every time, in three ways, when Jesus was tempted, each time he went to the enemy and says, I'm not going to do that because it is written, and he quotes a Bible verse. Isn't that beautiful? He gives us a template or a structure on what to do in your weakest moments when you are tempted. That's what we learned tonight. And we look at heights. We saw Jesus and the devil go up to a high place, and the takeaway is what is the takeaway, Becca? I have it written down. When I am tempted, quote Scripture right there. When I am tempted, quote Scripture. When you're tempted, quote Scripture back. That's the best thing to do. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you set an example for what we are supposed to do when the enemy tricks us or gets us to do something at the wrong time, shows up at a weak time. Lord, help us be brave and quote Scripture so we can get through a mess like that, Lord, and honor you. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, come back next week. I think we're going to talk about snakes, and that is a worse one for me than heights. So we're going to talk about snakes. Amen. Okay, we'll see you.